Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you good for this April 17th, 2023. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Beth Hatbacker.
Good morning.
We are here to make sure that your week starts off right, even if Mother Nature won't. We're going to do it. We'll put you on a positive note. We're not going to shovel for you, but we will start on a positive note.
We'll help energize you.
That's right. We got good stuff.
I thought April 1st was earlier in the month.
This is not
a good fool's joke.
If you lived in Wisconsin for more than 5 minutes, this cannot surprise you.
No.
You are not allowed to be surprised by this.
Figured at least one more was coming.
I was looking over my shoulder the last couple of weeks, just waiting for Mother Nature to do this one to us. I'd have been more surprised if this didn't happen.
Yeah.
We have got fun things coming up. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit. Looking forward to that one. Also got we may start with this, so I won't tease that just yet. We got people calling out things that were actually good until they got popular. I want to get into that a little bit later. Yeah, we're going to get into that one a little bit later. How many of us think that AI will end everything? A little bit too high of a number, if you ask me. I'll say that right now. A woman did something pretty interesting, living alone in a cave for a while. We're going to talk about that. Got that coming up. And your medicine cabinet. We've got to get into your medicine cabinet as well. We're not going to go too deep in there, all right? We're not going to share information about what's in your medicine cabinet. We're just going to go diving into every single one of our listeners' medicine cabinets.
Knock on the door.
Yeah, that should be fine, right? You just excuse yourself to the bathroom. You're in there for about 5-10 minutes too long. All of a sudden, there's a crash in the bathroom, and you hear your guest, oh, son of a... And then, of course, you wait. That's what we're going to do this morning. It'll be real awkward and fun. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to diving into that and doing some celebrating with all of you and our friends at Misty's. In the 8 o'clock hour, we are also going to hold our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center accountable. And by that, I mean we're going to get a live and direct update from them, find out what Mother Nature's got in store. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
9 o'clock hour, we have the kitchens open. Yes.
Yay.
Hey. Melissa is going to bring us this great show that she has been working on. And we appreciate her working on a week in and week out. We, of course, have the our friends at Chatterbox Catering to thank as well for sponsoring the second. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
And 9 o'clock hour, that ain't right stories, good stories of the day. We have some entertainment news we want to get into as well in that 9 o'clock hour. This all will lead you up to Playmakers. Join us for Playmakers today from 10 to 11. It is our sports talk show. Seth and I will be running the show together today. We're here to take your phone calls. Hopefully, I'm looking at our box that we get our phone, we use to get the phone calls onto the air, and it's lighting colors I've never seen it do before. So we got a couple hours between now and Playmakers, so we'll see how that goes. But we do want to get you to get your sports thoughts and feelings together. Want to talk with you about them during Playmakers today. We'll talk some baseball, talk basketball, and plenty more coming up. All that lined up for you today. I want to send a shout out to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring Playmakers. Thank you so much to them for that. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Got a good stories of the day today that will involve some local good stuff that we'll get to. I have something I wanted to touch on before we get going too far in this opening monologue. But first off, Melissa, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Just kind of chill, you know, getting ready for what was coming today.
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah, we have a lot of, like, all of my windows. I put screens on two of my windows on Saturday, so I don't know if this is my fault. Somebody apologized on Reddit for taking their snow scraper out of their car, saying they are to blame for this weather.
Yes.
But, you know, we're all enjoyed the very warm temps, and then now my windows are blasted with snow.
Yeah. We're going to find out. We're going to get more answers about this from Paul Trombley. We're looking forward to that a little bit later. Thank you for joining us, Melissa. Good to have you here.
Sure.
Beth, how was your weekend?
It was busy, but good. Came back from a trip up to Green Bay for some clergy leadership training kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful weather up there, too. So I'm still not happy with this and had some meetings and Winter's Farmers Market's still going. We're still looking for people to come out. It was a little bit slower this week than it's been in the past, so we need you guys to support us. Come on out Saturday mm-hmm. mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We still do have vendors that are coming out and very faithful. Worship yesterday went well, and then yesterday afternoon, some visits, and then just needed to, what I call, hibernate and mm-hmm. went into mm-hmm. my room, closed my door, and just vegged a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Good on you.
It's necessary to do that.
And I'm lucky enough to have a husband that's willing to take that on and say, yep, you go, I'll take care of the boys.
Right on. Nice. Good to hear all around.
How was your weekend, James?
It was okay. Got a lot done. It was busy, very busy weekend and everything. I did end up seeing some of my friends yesterday. We ended up getting together for this draft that we did. And we're hanging out and talking. And at one point in the conversation, one of my friends, who we've all known each other for 10-plus years and mm-hmm. everything, says, would a crazy person do this? And as he's saying that, something occurred to me, and I would like this to be like an open survey, okay?
Okay.
I am open to being wrong about this, but I genuinely believe that no sane person in history has ever said, would a crazy person do this? I don't believe that's ever actually happened. Like a sane person has said, oh, really? Would a crazy person do this? No, they wouldn't. No. Yes, actually, yes, a crazy person would do that, actually, because you're, yes. It was a discovery that I was very proud to make this weekend. Also, it was very awkward. It was very awkward.
It's amazing that we don't use the phrase, would a sane person do this?
Yeah, yes. That doesn't happen. We don't see that at all. I wanted to get to this really quickly. Wisconsin Emergency Management and the National Weather Service are conducting a statewide tornado drill on April 20th at 1:45 and 6:45. Our stations are going to be having this. Of course, you'll hear it over our radio stations. You will hear it in town. Just so that everybody knows, usually we're used to these sirens on Wednesdays here in the Wisconsin Rapids area, but we're going to be having these sirens on Thursday at 1:45 and then at 6:45. Make sure to spread the word about this mm-hmm. so everybody knows, everybody has a heads up, and mm-hmm. nobody is going into the tornado drill like, going into the basement or putting themselves under a desk or any of these other things we did as kids.
Well, that's, mm-hmm. It could be a great time to do that practicing. Make sure you know what to do when there is a tornado.
It's not a bad idea, actually. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back with our National Day of Calendar. We'll have plenty more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, James here with you. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this April 17th, 2023.
All right.
It is World Hemophilia Day.
Okay.
It's an important one.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly one of the more, less talked about things that people deal with or struggles that people can struggle or have with. For mm-hmm. some 400,000 people, simple paper cuts, nicks, and scrapes can actually be dangerous or even life-threatening due to a blood disorder known as hemophilia.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've heard about this one before. I think, unfortunately, the most people know about it are like from jokes or from TV shows or movies making fun of this or something like that. They don't tend to actually know too much about what causes it and everything. Today's a great day to research it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us see. It is International Haiku Poetry Day.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
And that phrase right there was a haiku. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It'd have been cool if it was. It'd have been cool to do it that way. But if there is one special thing that certain people tend to remember from school, it is the day that we were introduced to the great Japanese art form that is haiku. While it may have an ancient and noble history, it is likely at its most intangible when a group of young kids try to cobble together haikus in a series of 5-7-5. Still, just the act of being creative can be fun and exciting, whether young and old. Haiku Day serves as a reminder that there is so much more to this style of poetry than a misspent week in high school literature classes. Haikus are fun. Let's see. Haiku was originally found as the opening to another form of Japanese poetry called rengu. It took until the mid-1600s for a haiku, the form of haiku, was found at that time, to start appearing independently from its parent form, rengu, and renku roots.
Hmm.
In the late 1800s, haiku was renamed haiku when it appeared independently by the famous Japanese poet, author, and literary critic Masuaka Shiki. Shiki only lived a short 35 years, but he is credited with writing almost over 200,000 stanzas.
Wow.
Which is quite an accomplishment.
I would say so.
He was considered to be one of the first great haiku masters. Interesting.
The Japanese language is just beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have fun with this in school?
I don't really remember it.
Me neither.
A whole lot. I know we touched on it. And we all had to write one, which, it's easier than you would think, but it can also be very complicated because it's syllables. It's not words.
Right, exactly.
Man, I remember this vividly. It was exciting. I thought it was cool. I'd never heard of anything like it before. I remember it real well. I remember it just being a big thing in class. Like it felt like we spent half the day doing these, like writing these and everything. I don't think that was the intention of the lesson, but it ended up being that long. I like poetry a lot, and I have no problem with your standard poetry or stanzas or anything like that. With writing, but with most specifically poetry or haikus or any, I like a challenge. I could easily make every poem I've ever written just flow, but I like them rhyming.
Right.
Had a teacher in school say young that it was low hanging fruit to have rhyming poetry, that it wasn't true poetry and all this, and that really motivated me to always do that kind of poetry the rest of my life and bring legitimacy to it. I think that there is a rhythm and a music to rhyming poetry, to haikus, to these things, and I like incorporating that. I like the idea of, like, everybody looks at a painting and you're going to get a different impression from it. I like the idea of anybody reading a haiku or a poem like I write or something, and whatever beat I have in my head, maybe they have a different rhythm in their head when they're reading it. I think that that can be kind of fun about reading for the reader. Your lack of anything bad feedback back is going to tell me we're just going to move on.
Well, I was actually looking up an example of a haiku poem,
and I was coming up with one in my head.
Oh, nice!
Blah 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 blah.
Oh, come on, James.
Blah blah blah. No, I'm just telling everybody what day it is.
Oh,
I'm just telling. Yeah, I wasn't trying to be mean. I was. It's blah 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 day.
Okay. Blah,
actually,
blah.
It should be wah 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 wah.
Or yada yada yada.
No, it should be specifically wah, 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 wah. Wah, wah, wah.
Okay. If
you recognize the muffled sound of parents in Charlie Brown, you instinctively, if you let me just finish,
gotcha.
Blah, wah, 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 wah. Who listens to that? Well, no, it's all noise. It's all noise. You can't understand them. You never could understand the adults in Charlie Brown. That's why the kids were always confused in Charlie Brown cartoons, because they could never understand the adults. We have all been there, haven't we? Someone asks us to do something and we have no interest in doing so, whatever. In fact, all we have heard from them is say blah, 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 because we have tuned out entirely. Does this sound familiar? Well, blah, blah, blah is all about that, those moments. However, rather than failing to complete the tasks that you're being nagged about, you should give it your all and get the job done once and for all. Okay. I think that there some of the time they're just trying to fill out the days here. Like, we need 10 days. Can we just like make anybody got anything? It's nothing like a dame day.
There ain't nothing like a dame.
Pull out some brash old films or recordings, visit the theater, or dress up to pay tribute to the bright ladies of theater on Nothing Like a Dame Day. Very little is likely to inject a bit of sunshine and gaudiness into someone's day more effectively than this. Enjoy the fun and frivolity of the day while learning just a bit more about the history of this interesting celebration. The background of this day can be traced back to the 13th century when female rulers were often referred to as dames. The title was a sign of honor and indicated that a woman deserved respect as a female version of the term sir, which was given to a knight. It might also have indicated that a woman was the wife of a knight. The 7th century, and by the 7th century, the term dame had come to replace to be replaced lady. And eventually the use of the word dame did not indicate any position, but simply became a word that was used for any person who was a female. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then that, is that the song you were singing, Beth? There is nothing like a dame?
Yep.
From South Pacific?
Yep.
Was it? Yeah, South Pacific. Yeah. National Kickball Day. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Kickball's awesome. I like kickball.
My boys have been practicing that in some shape or form. Mm.
We never really played kickball in school. We played a lot of four square, which you play with a kickball.
Yeah, yeah. Kickball is a popular playground sport that has been around since the early 1900s. It seems that the game was founded in 1917 by Nicholas Seuss, no relation to Mr. Dr. Seuss, of course. This decidedly American game got its start in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, where it was played in parks and large backyards, as well as the school backyards. Playgrounds. In fact, the inventor of the game, Mr. Seuss, was the supervisor of Cincinnati Parks and Playgrounds, which may be why he was so motivated to create the game. Originally, it was called Kick Baseball. The game was used by physical education teachers to teach school children the basics of the game of baseball, but with less equipment and fewer opportunities for injuries. The game of kickball is typically played on a field that uses three bases, a pitcher's mound, and a home plate.
Mm-hmm.
Kickball's fun. I love kickball. Though it got its beginnings in the U.S., kickball has grown in popularity around the world due to its simplicity. It is especially enjoyed in South Korea, where it is known as foot baseball. In Japan, the game kickball is played by elementary school students and is translated as kick base.
Okay.
I like that kick base.
I don't know. Your foot could hurt a lot more kicking a base than it could the ball.
True.
International Bat Appreciation Day. Bats can eat as many as 100,000 mosquitoes a day. Help preserve this crucial creature by donating to a conservation, volunteering, or spreading awareness. Bats are one of those species. We would really be sorry if we missed them, if they were gone.
Yes, they are very impressive.
Very important part of our food chain. There's never been a bat that's ever wanted to attack you. If a bat is in your hair, it is by accident. Mm-hmm. They have no interest in messing with human beings. None whatsoever. If you see a bat, both you and the bat are both surprised. Neither one of you want this situation. But the way that they control the insect population, especially mosquitoes.
1,000 mosquitoes in an hour.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot.
I would think that alone would get, like, bat. Like, I'm surprised there's not more bat appreciation and stuff, especially, like, during summer. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you, bats. We appreciate your bats. Very good.
And they also pollinate flowers.
Yeah.
They're the only mammal that can fly.
Yeah, the only mammal that can fly. Thank you, Melissa. There was one stat that I was trying to think of that I always thought was cool about them. Yes, that is it. That is a very interesting stat. And there's a lot of great conservation work going on evolving bats. And so I encourage people to get a part of that. And yes, it is a good one here in Wisconsin. National Cheese Ball Day. Usually a mix of rich cheeses and creams, tasty spices, and coated with almonds, the cheese ball makes a perfect party dip with a little extra flair. Now, cheese balls, that sounds nice. These are great and everything. Anybody else immediately, you heard I'm saying cheese ball, but my brain is saying cheese curd.
Yep.
Okay.
that's a picture they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes me think of, like, cheesy poofs.
Yeah.
Cheese balls.
I think this National Day of Calendar people, I don't think they have ever had a cheese curd. I think that's what they're trying to go for here is National Cheese Curd Day or something like that.
Well, they look like little balls of cheese, but that's not what a cheese ball is. I remember my mom making them. I mean, it was big and popular in the 80s and 90s that you would do that. Mm-hmm. And then you would, like, if it was a cream cheese ball, you'd use, like, graham crackers, and it would taste really great. And if it were spicier, you'd use, like, club crackers or something like that.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember those. But I just figured that they're going for cheese curds there. But either way, cheese curds, cheese balls, whatever mm-hmm. it is, enjoy them today. Have some cheese today, if you can, enjoy. And enjoy that cheese curd. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and take our commercial break. Let's get to Melissa's news. We'll do that. We'll come back with a little more energy, a little more excitement, a little more fun. We're going to get into the world's most expensive sandwich and some other fun stuff coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Happy Monday, everybody. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you, taking you through your morning. Got some fun stuff to get to before the top of the hour, and I want to dive right into this one. Of course, save this for us because we have the kitchens open a little bit later. Thought food topics, good one for today. Happy, we had a happy grilled cheese sandwich day just last week. That was a lot of fun. Well, only 4% of Americans hate them. Only 4% of Americans dislike grilled cheese. That's a pretty good stat. Mm-hmm. Pretty hard to get anybody, like, that amount of people voting for anything positive. Like, so it's a pretty good stat.
96%. Yay.
They're popular because they're delicious and easy to make, and they're one of the cheapest things that you can eat as long as you don't buy this one. A restaurant in New York is bringing back the world's most expensive sandwich. It's a grilled cheese that costs $214.
Whoa. What? That's pricey.
The restaurant is Serendipity 3. They're also known for selling the world's most expensive milkshake for $100, the world's most expensive fries for $200, and the world's most expensive dessert for $25,000.
Wow.
Their $214 grilled cheese debuted in 2014. You have to order it 48 hours in advance. And here is why it costs so much. The bread itself has Dom Perignon champagne baked into it. It's cooked in truffle butter with edible gold flakes mixed in. Mm-hmm. And the fancy Italian cheese comes from cows that can only be milked 2 months out of the year.
What?
Those cows are lying to you. Those cows are lying to those farmers. Mm-hmm. Like those cows started a bit, and they've been running this game for a long time. Yeah, only 2 months of the year we can be milked. Yeah, just go with it. Go with it.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
It makes perfect sense, I think. Once it's cooked, the sticky, more edible gold flakes on the outside of the bread for no good reason, and it's also served with a lobster bisque dipping sauce.
Okay.
You know why this makes sense? Because you are always going to have people that have to try to look fancier than other people.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't so much the rich looking rich to the poor as rich looking rich to the rich.
Mm-hmm.
The keeping up with the Joneses is usually the Joneses keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
The Smiths don't care about what the Joneses are doing. They're too busy working or trying to survive or what have you. But the Joneses and all that, that's where that all comes in.
Yeah.
As long as you have millionaires trying to get to, not even trying to get to the moon, trying to get to like the atmosphere of space, like and wasting money doing that, and everything, you're going to have people wasting their money on things like this. Does it logically make sense? You are 100% right, Melissa. No, it does not.
No.
But seeing so many stories like this, and since we did cover the milkshake one and some of these other ones, yeah, it's never going to cease to amaze me of people the way that they can burn through money.
Well, and I'm still trying to figure out why people want to eat gold.
To feel fancy. All of this comes back to the same. Yeah. Every one of these things can be answered by they want to feel fancy. They want to feel rich. I would think having somebody who never been rich, I would think that just looking at my bank account would tell me, I feel pretty rich.
Yeah.
Feel rich. I don't need to waste my money. I don't need to make sure that.
Is it worth the same amount when it comes out the other end?
Yeah.
Or not? Does it change value inside of you?
You know what I think is one of the fun things about this is some of the reviews. And the reviews are not very positive. When it comes to that part of this.
Yes.
But that's the case with all of these things. All of these things that are highly expensive apparently don't end very well.
No.
Which I find kind of a little bit of karma in. I find a little bit of joy in that. I don't know why. I mean, but, that ain't right. Is there a meal that you would spend, and I'm not saying like this kind of money on, but you would spend a good money on? Say, like, I love a good steak. Mm-hmm. I could see, like, I don't mind if I go to a nice restaurant, I'm spending a good chunk of change on a good steak. I get it. I understand that. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of foods are there that you would spend on? Melissa, is there anything at the top of your head?
Probably like king crab legs.
Oh, yeah. My mom loves those.
I really
those.
Like
yeah.
those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would probably drop some cash on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went the seafood route, too. If I'm on the East Coast and anywhere near where I could get a good fresh one, lobster.
That's a good one.
And lobster just doesn't do it for me. And maybe I just haven't had it on the East Coast. Well, I know I haven't had it on the East Coast. But maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, getting a fresh one where they haven't had to ship it in from anywhere that's live and they just throw it in the pot for you. It's very good.
I don't think that any of us that haven't had like fresh freshwater fish, you know, I can understand how good the difference in the taste. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If you're in the Midwest here and everything, you're just not going to get that same type of fish. You're just got to, no matter how quickly it's imported or anything like that. That's, Yeah, I think steak would be it for me. I think that's be it for me. I will say that I will take my dad's $1.25 grilled cheese sandwich over this every day of the week. Every day.
It doesn't even sound good to me.
No.
I am a little curious about a $100 milkshake. I am a little curious about trying that. I would never buy it, but I do have a little. I am a little curious about trying it.
I'm wondering if they're using that same milk from the cows that can only be milked twice.
Yes,
for 2 months out of the year.
Man, we got to go back to that. We skated past that.
I
too
feel
quickly.
Bad for the cows. Think of the buildup that's going on.
Yeah, that's.
Well,
actually...
I was trying to find it because I looked it up and I didn't see. It seems to be that. Cows do need a dry period, but for most of them, it's about 2 months that they are dry and don't get milked. Mm. But I was not able to find anything about. There's a really long paper on seasonal calving in European prehistoric cattle and its impacts on milk availability. But that's going to take me a while to comb through.
Yeah. We might have to go back to that one sometime.
We might.
Does sound good. That's a $100 milkshake is served in a milkshake glass containing 3,000 crystals provided by Crystal Ninja. The milkshake has Jersey milk made from cows originally bred in the Channel Islands, which are popular for their high butterfat content. Tahitian vanilla ice cream soured from premium slow-grown sun-cured vanilla beans. Devonshire luxury clotted cream produced in Devon, England. This thick and rich cream is made from heated fine milk until a thick layer of golden cream forms on the surface. And Madagascar vanilla beans as the most labor intensive to grow. The Madagascar vanilla beans take up to 3 years to produce beans that are intense in flavor. And 23 karat edible gold. This pure and edible gold creates a glimmering gold sparkle. Whipped cream, a grass-fed cream infused with a simple syrup of sugar and vanilla. And La Cremose Bella d'Ozonoi, a donkey caramel sauce. With and all this, along with some Luxardo Gourmet Maschero cherries.
Okay.
Straight from Italy.
Donkey sauce?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Caramel donkey sauce.
Donkey caramel sauce. Hee-haw.
Well, they're making you pay for all the import taxes and the cost to get it there.
Right, yeah, wow. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Vanilla is very expensive, though.
Mm-hmm.
True. We will take a break right here, but don't go ordering that sandwich, everybody. It's a nice...
or the milkshake.
Yeah. Today is a great day for a grilled cheese and a milkshake that I think you could probably make for under $5. It's going to be great, and it's going to taste amazing. Actually, grilled cheese does sound really good now.
That's always a good comfort food. That's what it was in our house when it was... wet and yucky outside, you went for a good grilled cheese sandwich.
Soup and grilled cheese.
Yep.
Today's a good soup and grilled cheese.
And tomato soup is such an easy meal.
Okay, there we go. There's our question before we go to break. Grilled cheese, but what kind of soup with it? Me, it's chicken noodle.
Seth. Yeah. I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm with Melissa on this one.
Yeah.
Tomato soup, that's how we always have it.
I would prefer the tomato soup. Yeah, my mom always. And she always made it with milk.
Yes.
Instead of a can of
water.
Yeah,
it was a cream of tomato rather than straight tomato soup.
Used to drive my mother insane. Everybody in the house loved tomato soup with grilled cheese. One person that didn't, so she'd have to make one can of it just for me. She didn't have to, but she did. She did because she's the greatest mom ever. She did. We will take a break. We will come back. Have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good Monday out there, everybody. Melissa, Beth, James here with you, hanging out. Got some interesting stuff to get to before we get to the top of the hour. Right now, we are about to go into everybody's medicine cabinet.
Okay.
So everybody, all the listeners out there right now, no matter what you're doing, if you're at work, I want you to go home, get in your medicine cabinet, okay? All right. Everybody. Okay, everybody there? Everybody. Okay. Yeah, Miss back there, are you ready? Okay. You ready? All right. She's ready. We're all ready to go. Let's go ahead and dive into our medicine cabinets right now. Here's some advice we'd never heard. You shouldn't be storing medicine in your medicine cabinet. Wait a minute. What's going on? At least not long term. Someone posted a list of five things you should keep in your bathroom because of how the heat, or I'm sorry, you shouldn't keep in your bathroom because of how the heat and humidity from the shower affects them. Let's go ahead and dive into this list. Number one, medicine. High humidity shortens the shelf life and it can become less potent. So medicine cabinets aren't really the best place to keep medicine. Seems like a
oxymoron there.
Yes, a bit of a character design flaw, if you know. And why are we doing this? Why? What the heck? That's not right. Where should you keep your medicine?
I keep mine in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's a good place. I think that's a good
spot. Away from the oven, because then you have the same issues.
Right, no heat.
Yeah, but I think that should be a very, like, obvious answer.
Yeah.
Like, we should all, every person should know where to keep their medicine. Like, we should all have, like, a consensus answer. Like, oh, of course, you keep it right here.
Right.
Like,
shouldn't the medicine cabinet be in the kitchen?
It would make sense, because you need to get a glass of water, and where do you keep your glasses? Not in the bathroom, hopefully.
just throwing it into a search engine of where you should keep your medicine. Store your medicine in a cool, dry place. Store it in your dresser drawer or a kitchen cabinet away from the stove, sink, and any other hot appliances. You can also store medicines in a storage box or on a shelf or in a closet. What is the purpose of a medicine cabinet? Just to keep combs in there?
Band-aids.
Band-aids and combs.
Yep.
That's it. That's it. And
hair supplies.
And for the door to come swing and hit you in the face when you bend down to spit into the sink. Like, that's all the medicine cabinet is for.
Our house is designed weird. There's not a medicine cabinet in the bathroom that has the shower, but in our guest bathroom.
Oh.
So it's almost inviting people to come take a look. Here, see what we've got.
Yeah.
I wonder if one of the reasons that they did that, because often it's behind the mirror.
Yeah.
In the bathroom, if they did that so that kids wouldn't realize that that's where it was.
By the 1920s, notions of health and beauty were conflated. We have Madam C.J. Walker, who developed a popular line of personal care preparations for a previous ignorant market. The medicine cabinet basically came from this medicine, Madam C.J. Walker.
Okay.
Interesting. Very interesting. And she was African-American. Interesting. Makeup. No matter where you store it, bacteria from your face ends up in your makeup, but the heat and humidity from your shower can make it grow faster.
Yep.
All right. Interesting. Spare razor blades. The humidity can cause rust or dull the blades before you've even ever used them.
So it's pretty much, you shouldn't store anything in your bathroom.
No.
Nope.
No.
Or with your shower.
It really feels like a real flaw in the design when it comes to this. I'm actually getting a little angry about this. Like, how have we been doing this long for so, you know, the same way like this for so long?
So does that say anything about hair care products? Are we allowed to keep those in the bathroom?
We'll take a look. We got a couple more here. So the razor, the blades thing is a good one, though. That's a good note.
Yeah.
Teeth whitening gel. The humidity doesn't matter, but the temperature does. The fridge is actually the best place to keep it.
Interesting.
The fridge.
And,
why are you going in the fridge? It's time to brush your teeth. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
I'm trying to go
whiten
brush
my teeth.
Yeah, geez, give me a break. And painted wood furnace. Heat and humidity cause the wood to expand, so eventually the paint will start cracking and flaking off.
Hmm.
So a painted wood furnace is another one to keep in mind. I know that most things in life are about convenience. We want something. We want our toothbrush and our toothpaste in the bathroom because that's where we brush our teeth. That's where they're most convenient. It makes sense. But some of this stuff, I think you have to work around that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the health concerns or just the getting your money's worth even out of these products and everything. Hmm. Not sure.
It does seem backwards.
It does.
It doesn't feel right that we haven't really corrected it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's 2023, and like some of us, including myself, are just now realizing some of these things. Like I feel not only foolish, but I feel let down by society that we've been doing it this long. Why are we still doing this?
I wonder if it matters what size the bathroom is too. I've seen some bathrooms where you can completely close off the shower part from the rest of the bathroom. And when you do that, then you help to block that humidity and the heat that comes from taking a shower. So that, I would think, would make the other part safe. But in our house, we have what we refer to the long john because it's very long and narrow. There's no way that we could separate the heat and humidity in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think some of us knew this, but we are also like, well, but that's where my storage is.
Yep.
Yeah.
For the things that I keep in the bathroom.
So we just keep doing this just because there's no better way, or we just have always done it this way? Like, I really feel like with all the changes and all the things that we get bent out of shape about and everything, there's so many things that we just keep putting up with, that we just keep doing. I'm not getting off this this hill about the bidets. Like, every bathroom in the world should be a bidet. There's no reason in the world we should be using toilet paper anymore. Like, there's none. The health reasons, the safety reasons, there's no reason whatsoever that we should be. But we continue to. We just kind of put up with it. Just kind of, well, this is just the way we've always done it. Yeah, they used to put leeches on people, too.
It's true.
Leeches do good. Leeches do good. I know.
You knew I was going to push back.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour in a moment on the Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here. We'll take you right to the top of the hour. CBS News will come in and catch up on your world news. Then we'll be joined by our friends of the Weather Eye Weather Center, and we're going to hold them accountable for this weather. we're going to get an update from Paul, find out what not only today is like, but what the rest of the week is going to be looking like and everything, how long we're going to be dealing with this weather. After we're done talking with Paul, we are going to get into people are calling out the things that were actually good until they got popular.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into that one. That should be some fun. I think that'll be an interesting conversation. Right now, let's go ahead and dive into this. Time to yourself is good, but this is a lot of time. A 50-year-old woman in Spain just spent 500 days living alone in a cave 230 feet underground.
Wow.
Her name is Beatrice Flamini. It was an experiment to study our internal clock and how we react to extreme isolation. Scientists watched her the whole time, but she had no contact with anyone. So she had two GoPros so they could see her. She went in on November 20th, 2021. To put that in perspective, the pandemic was still raging. The war in Ukraine hadn't started yet, and Queen Elizabeth was still with us.
Mm-hmm.
She was 48 when she started and celebrated two birthdays in there, but she didn't actually know it was her birthday. She didn't have clocks or calendars, and she stopped trying to keep track around day 65.
Okay.
She wow. says she was shocked when she came to get her to when they came in to get her on Friday because she didn't think she'd been there that long. She would have guessed around 170 days, and she was kind of sad it was over.
Oh. Huh.
She told them not to contact her even if there was a death in her family. In the family, she had a panic button, but says she never felt the urge to push it.
Interesting.
She did have to come out for 8 days once when a router had to be fixed, but she stayed in a tent alone, never talked to anyone, and those 8 days didn't count towards the 500.
Okay.
They sent, so actually 508 days
there you
she
go,
has
yeah.
been doing this.
They sent food down to her, and she sent her waist back up, but she never showered the whole time.
Oh.
She didn't have TV and couldn't read the news, so she's still being filled in on everything that's happened in the last 17 months.
Wow, yikes. That's a
that
lot.
That would take some time.
Yeah.
So I don't know about anybody else, but one of the first things that I would think of is, how am I going to pass the time?
Mm-hmm.
How am I
mm-hmm.
going to get
yeah,
there?
Yeah, like what did she mm-hmm. do down there?
She says she did a lot of drawing, knitting, exercising, and read about 60 books.
Wow.
She
60,
also,
that's it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. She also planned to write a book, but says she didn't have have time to finish it.
That's why she wants to go back.
Every single author in the world just took a like, oh, that's yeah. awesome. That, yeah. See, even when you have literally nothing else to do, you can write all you want. You still don't have the time to write that novel you've been talking about writing for 20 years.
Yep.
She basically didn't talk the entire time. So conversations are tough right now. But the first thing she asked when she climbed out was, who wanted to buy her a beer?
Good question.
Her team says she broke the world record for longest time spent in a cave, but it hasn't been confirmed by Guinness yet. Oh, okay. Just give it to her.
Yeah.
What the heck? Just wow. give it to her. Yeah. So clearly she just got out of this and stuff. So there's a lot of work and research that needs to be done before we're going to get any data from this about how this affects isolation, how the body and all that, mm-hmm. The human mind are interacting with others, all these different things. I think that there's a lot of data that's going to come out of this. How long do you think you would last doing something like this? I think I could do almost a year. I think I could do possibly a year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could make it that long.
I really don't know either, but I do like to do, I mean, if there wasn't, if the food's being delivered, you know, like you're being taken care of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and you can have any books you want and more knitting supplies come down. Like you don't have any worries or concerns really. You don't have anybody threatening your life. You don't have to hunt for your food. It doesn't sound like a terrible deal.
I don't want to sound like assuming or anything, Melissa, but when we got done with the article, you were the first person I thought of people that I know that could do this. I think could like not only do it, but like do it and survive it, like mental health wise. Mm-hmm. You're clearly going to be okay. They're taking care of you. They got GoPros on you. Nothing's going to happen to you. Mental health wise, though,
yeah.
I like a person that could handle this, you know, and come out of it. Not broken or anything.
I think the biggest thing I would miss would be music. But, yeah. I mean, if you can have a knitting needles, why couldn't you have a guitar down there? So,
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
My own music, I guess.
I think it depends on if you're an extrovert or an introvert, so where you're getting your energy mm-hmm. from. So those of us that are extroverts, we need to be around people because that's mm-hmm. what energizes us. But if you're an introvert, it sounds like it would be heaven for you.
Yeah. I think I could do all of it except for the whole no contact. Like if something happened to one of my children or a relative, mm-hmm. I would yeah. stop the experiment. I'm done. I got to go check that
yep.
out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the thing that I don't think I could do this with.
Especially if it was one of my children.
Yeah. There's no way I could be down there and not. Especially, I'm an overthinker. I mean, I overthink in general, and there's a billion distractions and a billion things in my life going on. You put me in a cave for 500 days? I can't imagine the overthinking my brain would do. I could.
Well, and I would start to have conversations out loud with myself. So my voice would still be getting used.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, I talk to myself already. I can't imagine the deep in-depth conversations I would be having with myself. And what do you think, James? I don't know. Jimmy, what do you think? Well, I actually think it.
Heaven for a multiple personality person.
Yeah, yes.
Would by the time he came out.
Exactly.
We'll say, I do admire it. I do admire this lady. Nice. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. And the reason for it was just to study the effects of isolation and the reason and like passage of time.
Mm-hmm. I looked at a couple of different things, and everything comes back to an experiment to study our internal clock and how we react to extreme isolation.
Hmm. It'll be interesting to see what the results are.
Yeah. Very extreme.
It seems like an extreme to go to it. Yes, I agree, Melissa.
She's got to be a scientist.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We have a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and much more on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.